Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 10 this morning. Luke chapter 10, and I want to challenge you about being a good neighbor. There's a jingle about that somewhere, but I'm not going to sing it to you, so don't worry about that. Being a good neighbor. Luke chapter 10, we've got the story of the Good Samaritan. Usually that's the title that we give the story. The Bible doesn't call him that, but we see that he is. He's good. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 is where we're going to start. I'm going to read through the whole passage this morning. I often don't do that. A lot of times I'll walk you through it. But I'm going to read the passage to you. Then we're going to look at the difference between being a good neighbor and being a bad neighbor. And this is convicting for me, because as I prepared this, I realized I'm a bad neighbor sometimes. And I don't try to kick the neighbor's dogs and things like that, but try to bring the trash cans in when it's time to bring those in and keep the lawn mowed. But sometimes I'm not a good neighbor like Jesus said a good neighbor ought to be. So this is convicting for me. Hopefully it's challenging for you. Luke chapter 10, look at verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So here's the setting, a lawyer tempting Jesus. Here's Jesus' answer, verse 26. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, this is the lawyer talking now, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, now Jesus is talking, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. So we got the answer right. He quoted the Bible just right, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, you got it. You got it just right. Verse 29, though, but he, talking about the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So I'm supposed to love God, and I'm supposed to love my neighbor like myself, but who is that? Tell me the person I'm supposed to love. And Jesus answering said, now he's going to tell a parable. A parable is a story that illustrates the truth. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Most of you know this story, so I'm not going to take a lot of time to fill in all the story for you. The Bible tells it very well. But when we get to the end, there's some principles that I really want you to get. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Wait a minute. That wasn't just a regular guy. It wasn't just an average person that passed by. This was a priest. We'll talk about who the priests are in just a minute and why the priest should have helped him, but he didn't. He just passed by on the other side of the road. Verse 32. And likewise, a Levite. Again, another man that we'll talk about in a moment, special person, should have helped him. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now here's Jesus told the story. Now he's going to ask the lawyer a question. I can picture him telling the story, then now looking him right in the eyes. Remember the question. The question was, okay, and who's my neighbor? And do you remember the reason why he asked the question? Jesus said, the lawyer said, and Jesus said, yeah, that's right. The scripture said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor is thyself. And the lawyer asked Jesus, and who's my neighbor? Jesus told him this story. And then he looks right at the lawyer and he says, which now of these three, it's in verse 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which one was the neighbor? Was the priest the neighbor? Was the Levite the neighbor? Or was the Samaritan the neighbor? I think we know the answer. It's pretty obvious. And the lawyer knew the answer as well. It's in verse 37. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. And there's our challenge this morning. Who is our neighbor? And whoever that is, we need to go and do thou likewise. Show mercy to him. So the lawyer tempts Jesus with a question. He says, what can I do to get to heaven? Jesus asked him what the Bible said about it. The lawyer got it right by quoting right from Leviticus, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. See, here's what was happening. The lawyer is trying to make himself look good to Jesus. Then he asks, who's my neighbor? Maybe he thought his neighbors were only the people that live next door to him, which that's usually who we call our neighbors. If I was to ask you, who are your neighbors? You might tell me the names of your neighbors. You may not tell me the names of your neighbors because nowadays we don't know the names of our neighbors. They're just people we wave at through our windshields as we're passing by. But you probably point me to those people sitting next to or living next to you. Maybe he thought his neighbors were the people on his street. That's kind of what I would think a lot of times if somebody asks, who's your neighbor? Or somebody sings a song like, who are the people in your neighborhood? Do you remember that song? Am I the only one? Okay, there's a couple people remember that song. Who are the people in your neighborhood? Well, who's your neighbor? I think Jesus' answer shocked him. I think he was thinking, okay, my neighbors are these people that live here. My neighbors are the people that I see on my street. But Jesus' answer was totally different. And the lawyer discovered that his neighbor was, you ready? Two-word answer. His neighbor was, did I scare you right there? I got a little closer. Right? His neighbor was other people. There it is. Jesus' answer helps him to understand his neighbor is not just the person next to you, not just the people on your street, but it's the person that if you're walking down the road and you see them and they need help, that's your neighbor, whether it's your nationality or not. The Samaritan was a different nationality than the man walking down the road. At least that's what it was implied. The man that was beaten up and left for dead, the Samaritan was a different nationality, but he still stopped and helped. And we realize that just because he's a different nationality, he's still his neighbor. The answer from Jesus, your neighbor is other people. The lawyer discovered that. People in his neighborhood and people out of his neighborhood. People in his city and people out of his city. People that looked like him and people that looked nothing like him at all. Those are all his neighbors. It turns out the second greatest commandment is to love other people. And not just a select few other people. God expects us to love all the other people. And I love the song that we maybe learned in junior church or learned in Sunday school, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, all of them. And it doesn't matter if they're across the tracks or across the ocean, God loves them and they are our neighbor. Now, I told you we're starting Missions Month. And I want you to consider your neighbor isn't just the person next to you. It's not even the person just on your street. And it's not even just the people that might look kind of like you because you come from the same stock of people. But it's the people that are the other people. They may look different than you. They may talk different than you. But they are your neighbor. Not only did Jesus teach him who his neighbor was, but then Jesus taught him the difference between a good neighbor and a bad neighbor. And the title of the message this morning is Good Neighbor Missions. All right? Good Neighbor Missions. A lot of times when we think of neighbors, we don't think about missions. We got that map on the back, and we think missions is somewhere way over there, and neighbors are something right here. But what Jesus is showing us is that neighbors are the people that you get an opportunity to make a difference in their lives. Somebody that you might get an opportunity to influence. Let's look at the bad neighbors first. We always like to criticize bad neighbors, you know. We're not going to talk about things we want to do to bad neighbors, but we'll talk about some of these bad neighbors, all right? First of all was the priest. The priest, turns out, he was a bad neighbor. We know the good neighbor was the good Samaritan. But what about the priest? Now think about this. The priest was only a select few people could be a priest back then. They were special. They were chosen by God. When God chose Aaron and his family to be the priest way back when he gave the Ten Commandments, and that family continued to carry the priesthood. And they're still people, and they're still sinful people. And the book of Hebrews helps us understand that very clearly. But they were the ones responsible for the temple and making the sacrifices. A very special person, a person that represented Christ. The person who represented, not because they were infallible, not the vicar of Christ on this earth. But they represented what Jesus was going to do by killing the sacrifice and taking the sacrifice and offering its blood on the altar. These priests were important. These priests were God's people. They were the church people. They had to live a holy and separated life. They were living a life of public service to God, and that person was a bad neighbor. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we think, well, they're the preacher. They're probably better than other people. They're in the ministry. They're the I don't know where this one came from. Man of the cloth, right? However it got in there. Some people call them reverend. That's really a misnomer. There's nothing reverend about a preacher. Nothing reverend about somebody in the ministry. We're normal, right? We'll just stop with that. But this priest was something special. Here's what he did. He saw the man that needed help. He saw the man that he should have stopped and helped. And that's what the point Jesus is trying to put on or to get across. And the Bible says he passed over on the other side and he went his way. He was a bad neighbor. Now, we can apply this in some areas where Jesus was trying to teach him to love his neighbor as himself, but we're applying this to missions this morning. And as we think that there's some people that might need to hear the gospel, are we like this bad neighbor who we maybe hear about them, but we kind of look away and just go the other way and pass by on the other side? Then there was the Levite. The Levites came from the same family. They were a special family that was in charge of taking care of the temple and setting it up and transporting the tabernacle back in the Old Testament. That we call them maybe the temple staff. Here's what they did. They walked by. This man, he walked by, he saw him. This man, he'd been beaten and left for dead. He walked and he sees him. And the Bible says he passes by on the other side. So what made the bad neighbors bad? That's what I want to get to this morning, and I hope it challenges you. As we talk about missions, as we talk about, now when I say missions, don't glaze over, all right? Stay awake here. Here's what missions is. Missions is taking the story of Jesus Christ. The fact that he came to this earth, he died on the cross, he paid the price for your sins and my sins and the sins of the entire world. He rose again. And anybody that trusts him as their Savior can have eternal life. They don't have to die and spend eternity in what the Bible calls hell. They can go to heaven forever. What a difference that is. Hell forever or heaven forever. That is the truth of the Scriptures. The Bible, Jesus taught more about hell. He spoke more of hell than he did about heaven. It's true. It's a real place. Both are real places. Missions is somebody taking that story, we call it the gospel, and telling somebody else that hasn't heard. That's why it's so important. That's why we take a month out of our year and focus on, that's why we're going to have a missions conference in 2 weeks, and we're going to preach about missions and learn about missions and hopefully develop a heart for missions and have a desire to reach people around the whole world with the gospel so that they don't die and go to hell, so that they can go to heaven. Okay, so now you can wake up again, unglaze, and we're moving right on here, okay? The missions. Whenever I'm talking about being a good neighbor, I'm talking to you and me, and I'm talking about how do we see the world around us, the other people, our neighbors, the other people that we have an opportunity to influence. So what made the bad neighbors bad? I think, first of all, was personal convenience. I can just hear the priest, maybe even the Levite, saying something like this: I'd stop and help that man. But I have to stop what I'm doing. I'd have to cross the street, get emotionally involved, take time to find out what's wrong, and maybe even take him somewhere. I wouldn't mind giving a few minutes, but it might take a longer commitment than I can afford. And personal convenience, I think, may have been part of why the priest and the Levite passed on. Does convenience stop you from being a good neighbor? We'll try to apply these just real quickly and real simply. But let me ask you, does convenience stop you from being a good neighbor? When it comes to sharing the life-changing, eternity-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, does convenience stop us from being a good neighbor? Our car broke down one time. We were driving from Tucson to Albuquerque. We're driving it was a 1993 green Ford Explorer. That's whenever that could fit our family. And we were driving, we were probably 10 miles the other side of Deming coming this way. You know, there's nothing 10 miles the other side of Deming. As we, I believe my wife was driving at the time, all of a sudden we just lost all the power in our vehicle. There's no power steering, there's no power brakes, there's nothing. The gauge is all just died. We coasted onto the side of the road. We realized that the tensioner had gone out in our vehicle. Now, I'm going to be speaking a foreign language for you ladies for just a moment, so I'm kidding. So some of you guys even, right? So tensioner, that's the thing that keeps the belt nice and tight, that keeps everything moving around, right? So the tensioner froze up. It means it wasn't spinning anymore. Because the tensioner froze up, the belt was still going around it. It melted through the belt. The belt was gone. We were stuck on the side of the road. We looked up the AutoZone in Deming. They had the parts that we need. We called them. They said they had the parts, but I couldn't get there. There's no way to get to Deming because my car was broken down. The AutoZone worker said, "Hey, no problem. I'll bring them to you." I mean, we're probably 10 miles outside of town. He drove them to us. He helped me put them back on. We got the tensioner back on. We got the belt put back on. And we're just about ready to go. We had been inconvenienced. We were behind schedule. Any of you, you're like me, and when you're driving, you're thinking, I want to get from point A to point B, and we got to get there. Whenever you take a rest stop and cars pass, it's like sucking the life out of you because you're losing ground, and you got to make it back up past those same cars again. So that's where we were. But here's what we did. For some reason, God impressed on my heart to witness to him, and I did. I shared the gospel with this guy. And right there in the parking lot of this old truck stop that wasn't even operational anymore, he got saved. It was awesome. And I was thinking, I wanted to keep driving. Now, there's thousands more situations where my own convenience stopped me from being a good neighbor. But I told you the one where I did the right thing, okay? And I just want to tell you, there's so many times when convenience stops us from doing that thing. You can make a difference. I wish I could look back and say and give you hundreds and hundreds of examples of all the times I should have not let convenience stop me. But what about you? Does convenience stop you from being a good neighbor? You said, I thought we were talking about missions. I thought we were talking about reaching those people with the gospel. Well, it's the same thing. It's your neighbor. It's the other people. Whether it's the guy up on the side of the road, or it's the guy at the truck stop, or it's the guy at the gas station, or the lady at the grocery store, or the restaurant, wherever it is, that's the other people. That's our neighbor, and we need to reach them with the gospel. Does convenience stop us from being a good neighbor? Let me say it the other way. It kind of doesn't sound as nice, but does convenience cause us to be a bad neighbor? I think sometimes it does. For me, I can tell you that I've been a bad neighbor because I didn't want to be inconvenienced at times. I think lack of concern might be one of the reasons that the priest was a bad neighbor or the Levite was a bad neighbor. He might have said something like this: that man looks like he needs help. But I'll bet there are about 100 more just like him along this road. He's probably like all the others. He's probably just getting what he deserves. How many times have we thought that? Just getting what he deserves. We see somebody standing up the side of the road asking for money. We're thinking, well, he probably... You make your bed and you can sleep in it, right? Just getting what he deserves. Well, maybe that's true. But they still need help. I'm not saying give money to all the people who are asking for money, because they don't always use it for what they say they're going to use it for. But there's something we can do. We're talking about sharing the gospel. We're talking about reaching people with the life-changing story of Jesus Christ. He's probably just getting what he deserves. I doubt there's any way he could repay me for my time and effort. If I just don't think about him, it probably won't bother me. The lack of concern, and he passed by. Does lack of concern stop you from being a good neighbor? Consider what you would want if you were in their place. And let's talk about salvation for a minute. Let's talk about reaching the world with the gospel. Aren't you glad someone cared enough about you to teach you how to be saved? Think about this. I'm going to tell you all the good stories. I'm not going to tell you the bad stories, but there's more bad stories than there are good stories. So just believe me on that. But I got a note one time from one of the ladies who used to go to our church. She was a server at one of the restaurants. She sent me a note. She said, "Pastor Reyes, thank you for asking if I knew for sure I was going to heaven. Thank you for asking if I was saved." She said a big group of preachers came in and they had their staff meeting here. And I served their table. I waited on their table. And none of them ever asked me if I was saved. She said, "Thank you for being a pastor that cares." And again, I'm going to say, I'm not trying to make myself the hero. It's just a story. There's more of those that didn't go that way. But that one... I did the right thing, okay? So I maybe one point on that one, and to balance out the others that didn't go so well. But does lack of concern keep us from sharing the gospel with somebody? What if that one person that told you how to be saved hadn't have told you how to be saved. Think about it. Who was it? Who shared the gospel with you? When I was 5 years old, my dad asked me, would you like to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? He took out the Bible and he showed me from the Bible how I was a sinner, how I deserved to die and go to hell. And that's not child abuse, by the way. That's telling him the truth. He showed me that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and that if I would trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, I could have my sins forgiven and go to heaven. I'm so glad he took the time in our old den on that green vinyl couch to show me how to be saved. Who took the time to show you? And aren't you glad they did? And what would have happened if they wouldn't have been concerned about your soul? You know, there's somebody else that needs you to be concerned about them. I don't know who they are, but they're your neighbor. Maybe it's the neighbor that lives right next to you. Maybe it's the neighbor that you don't know, but you supporting a missionary to go across the ocean to share the gospel with that person and they get saved. Maybe it's that neighbor. Well, just a thought. Sometimes it's personal convenience that makes us a bad neighbor. Sometimes it's lack of concern. You know, if it was your grown-up son or your grown-up daughter, how would you care for them? Kind of changes things. See, sometimes we get this, remember the hunker position, right? Hunkering down. We get this idea, I've got my family, we're saved, we're going to church, we're good. I'm not going to worry about the other people. I want to burst that bubble for you, and I want you to be able to think, well, there's other people that need to be saved. There's somebody else's son, somebody else's daughter that needs to hear the truth of the gospel. If they die, they're not going to go to heaven. I want to reach them with the gospel. Would you care enough to teach them how to be saved if it was your grown-up kids? Would you want someone to stop and show them how much Jesus loves them? Absolutely. Absolutely. Does lack of concern influence how you treat missions? Think about missions for a minute. If you were concerned, if I was concerned, would we pray for missionaries? If we were concerned, would we give the amount that God wants us to give towards missions? If we were concerned, would we go if God said, I want you to go to this different place? There's other people in other places, and they need to hear the gospel too. How concerned are we? Talk about selfishness in just a little bit, but that's coming right up next. How about selfishness? I can't afford to help that man. I'm already 100% committed. My schedule is so tight, I can't waste 1 minute. My budget is so tight, I can't spend one extra penny. My emotions are already spent on my own problems. I won't invest any part of me unless somebody can prove that I'll get a great return on my investment. Now, missions is a great return on your investment, but it may not be the kind of return that you're wanting right now. Sometimes I think selfishness makes us a bad neighbor. God uses Christians greatly who are unselfish. I love what the Apostle Paul said. It was 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. They were missionaries, they'd gone into Asia, and they were worried even about their life. But then in the next verse, he said, this is 2 Corinthians 1, 9, he said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. We already died before we came here. We don't have anything to lose. A dead person doesn't have anything to lose. And they died to themselves. They died to their own selfishness. James Calvert was a missionary going to the island of Fiji before it became a vacation destination. The people on the island of Fiji were known as cannibals and headhunters. And he was going there as a missionary. When he was getting ready to get off the boat, one of the folks on the boat told him, you know you're probably going to die if you go to these people as a missionary. And here's what James Calvert said, we died before we came. Is selfishness stopping you from giving? Is selfishness stopping you from going? Is selfishness, now this is the hard one for most of us, is selfishness stopping you from allowing your children to answer God's call, to do God's will? Even if that includes going, I know that's a hard one. It's probably the hardest one for me. I know that was the hardest one for my parents, but at one time, all three of their kids were serving God in some other place. I was in, I guess it was the Holy Land, right? It was Texas. Those of you from Texas would say that. My brother in Chile and my sister in Africa, they understand that. They understand how hard it was to say, okay, God, whatever you want, we'll let you do it. and we'll let our kids go. Sometimes I think selfishness keeps us from giving. Sometimes selfishness keeps us from going and also encouraging others to go. How about our pride? I just wonder if maybe pride was the thing that kept that priest from stopping and helping that man. And really, think about it. He's got his nice clothes on, right? His Sunday go-to-church clothes. I'd rather not be wearing my Sunday go-to-church clothes sometimes, but it's Sunday go-to-church clothes. I will say this. I'm going to do my very best when I'm in church. I want to please God. We dress for what's important and all that stuff. But he didn't want to get dirty. There's a guy bleeding on the side of the road. How many times could we help somebody if it wasn't our pride that got in the way and said, you're better than that. You're fill in the blank. You're this position. You're going here. Whatever it is. There's some times that, let's just talk about helping people. The times you get to help somebody change the tire on the side of the road. The times you maybe help somebody with something that they need. It doesn't help us at all. And somebody, if they were to look at you, they might say, I thought he was above that. Well, no, not in God's economy. Because in God's economy, the servant is the greatest. But then we're talking about missions. What did the priest maybe think? I can't stop and help that man. What if somebody sees me? I can't let some people from my social circle see me doing something they don't approve of. They'll talk about me at work. They'll label me as a fanatic. I'm a respected individual. I can't stoop to that level. I'm already dressed for work. If I help that man, my clothes will get dirty. He needs help, but not from me. I hope somebody less respectable than me finds him before he dies. That's awful, isn't it? That's terrible. What about missions? Is it for somebody else to do? Is it something that we're respectable and we're going to do these things? We're saving for retirement, or we're whatever it is that you want to fill in the blanks there. But is it pride sometimes that's going to keep us from making that difference, going as a missionary? Does your pride keep you from being a good neighbor? I think this is the one that might affect us, and maybe it was the priest's problem, the Levite's problem. I think in our case, a lot of times it's just that we're too busy. I'm pretty busy. You're pretty busy. Most of us are pretty busy. Oh, so maybe the priest said this. He saw the man laying there. He's been beaten. He's been left for dead. And maybe it was this. I've got too much on my plate to add anything else. If I was caught up on my projects, I'd be the first one to help that guy. But right now, I just can't. I've got a full-time job, and I have to work overtime to pay off my credit cards, and I have a family and a workout routine and a pet that needs walking and a favorite TV program and kids in school and kids in sports, and I'm on the softball team and the football team, plus I manage my own football team in a fantasy league. My life is centered around me, and I don't have time to minister to anybody else. Okay, so I'm being a little bit silly with that, but that is so many times the reason we don't make a difference in the area of reaching people with the gospel. I'm just too busy. I'm too busy to go soul winning. I'm too busy to work into my schedule a time to tell somebody else how to be saved. Are we too busy for missions? And that's missions. Missions is our neighbor. Whether it's somebody next door to us, down the street from us, or around the world from us, those are the people that Jesus said, those are your neighbor, and next to God, you're supposed to love them at that level. Whoa. I think sometimes that's me. I think sometimes I'm just too busy. Does your pride keep you from being a good neighbor? Does your busyness keep you from being a good neighbor? Let me ask you this way. I've only got two quick ones and we're done. Are you too busy to keep somebody from dying and going to hell? When you put it that way, I guess I'm probably not. I probably could rearrange something in my schedule if it meant that person, if they were to die, they'd go to hell. I probably could change something. I know this is a convicting message. It's convicting for me too. What about misplaced priorities? I could just see the Levite looking at the man that had been beaten and saying, I'd like to help that man and I'm quite capable of helping him, but others just way down on my priority list. It's not my thing. Do misplaced priorities keep you from being a good neighbor? In your heart, are things more important or are people more important? That's just kind of boiling it down to the basics right there, isn't it? Is it things or is it people? And there's some people around you. There's some people that you know that I don't know. There's some people in your social circles. There's some people on your street. There's some people that are your neighbors, that are people that I may never come across, but you do. And are your priorities right so that you could share the gospel with that person? Maybe give them a gospel tract and maybe invite them to church. Inviting them to church doesn't save them, you know that. But maybe they'll hear the truth there. Invite them to church. Give them a gospel tract. You tell them your testimony. To share with them, kind of like I did. I was 5 years old. My dad asked me if I wanted to know for sure I was going to heaven. Here's how he showed me. Here's how I got saved. You got a story like that if you're saved. You may not have been 5 years old. You may not have been sitting on a green vinyl couch. That makes my story better. But you got a story. And it's called a testimony. If you share a testimony like that with somebody, how did God save you? How did you hear that you needed to be saved? You can do that. And I think this is the last one, but I think there's a lot of times when here we are. The priest is walking down the road. He sees the man that's been beaten and left half dead. And God maybe put this desire in his heart. It kind of burdens him, kind of a convicting kind of feeling. Go help that guy. And he fought it. I don't know if you've ever felt that kind of conviction, that kind of God saying do it and you fight him. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you ever fought with God, but I'll raise mine for me and maybe for you too. I fought with God. And God says, go talk to that guy, and I didn't fight. I wish I would have witnessed to him. I was in Boy Scouts, one of my friends in Boy Scouts named John. And God put on my heart time after time after time after time to witness to John. I never did. I haven't seen John in probably 40 years. Wait, no, 30 years. I'm 20. I told you my mind's a little bit jello. I'm 41 now, so it wouldn't have been that long ago. About 20 years, okay? 25 years. I haven't seen him that long. I don't know if he got saved. Probably didn't. That bothers me. And God put that burden on my heart to tell him, but I didn't. Who in your life is God going to bring to you and say, okay, here's your chance. Here's your chance. Talk to that person. Talk to that. Now, there's been some people, when God put that on my heart, I have. I'm glad I have, but there's been a lot of other times where I haven't. And I think sometimes we fight God's leading. Maybe the priest said something like this, I feel God pulling my heart toward that man, but I just don't feel capable of helping him. I'll pray that God will send somebody to help him before he dies. You know, if God puts that burden in your heart, he's probably equipped you to give that person just what they need. You might say, that person needs to be saved, but I don't think I have what it takes to show them. If you're saved, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, you do. You do. That person's going to get saved the exact same way that you got saved. Are you fighting the call of God to be a good neighbor? God has a purpose for each day that you live. And often that purpose involves people. And when you say no to God's leading, you're saying no to God's blessing. There's a lot of neighbors we don't know, all right? How many people are in this world right now? There's about 7 billion. Billion, quadrillion, gazillion, bazillion. That's all the same to me. That's a big number. That's a number I can't wrap my mind around. 7 billion is a lot of people. And those people need to be reached with the gospel. Jesus said before he left, he said to take his gospel to all creatures in every nation and to teach them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, church, this is a challenge to you. As we focus on missions, I want you to realize it's not just somebody else's job. It's not just the church as a whole that supports the missions. It's me. It's you. And missions isn't just something way over there, way over there. Missions is reaching people with the gospel from my house all the way around the world. It's all the other people. Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts this morning. We know that trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior is the one thing that will guarantee eternal life in heaven. Yet so many people around this world have never even heard that. Lord, I wonder if our neighbors have heard that. I wonder if anybody's ever clearly shown the people on our street how they can simply trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be good neighbors. I pray that you would change the way we think about our neighbors, change our perspective about our neighbors, and realize I have an opportunity to make a difference in my neighbor's eternity in their life. Lord, I pray that you'd convict our hearts this morning, and I pray that you would help us to make a decision this morning to do what we can to be a good neighbor